Creativeness of God, the flowers and alone, there's like millions of species. Bugs, there's millions of them. Fish of the sea, birds of the air. You know, I spend a lot of time in South America and I see birds there that I've never seen before. It's really incredible. The fruits, I mean, some crazy fruits down there. Hundreds. You go to a grocery store and you see this wall of wild, you know, fruits that I didn't even know they existed. I mean, his creativeness just goes and goes and goes. We serve an awesome God. An awesome God. Now I want to take us on another trip. We're going to leave the earth and we're going to go up into the expanse of the universe. All right? First, talk a little bit about the speed of light. We talked about it a little bit last week, just to kind of, this is important. This is going to be the measuring rod. You know, you can see a picture of something and you don't know how big it is unless you have something relative to it. Oftentimes a photograph, great photographers know this, that if something is just huge, you've got to put something in the picture that gives a relative, you know, measurement so you can see how big it is or how small it is. So that's what this is for. This is why it's important to understand the speed of light, because it's used to measure the universe. So a little bit real quick about the speed of light. The speed of light is 186,282 miles. 186,282 miles per second. To give you an idea, like we think the speed of sound is fast, right? A lot of times you make these relative, you know, you kind of relate things together like the speed of sound. Well, that's really fast. Like I can talk right now and the people in the very back are hearing me just really as fast as you are as far as we can tell. There's no difference. That's pretty fast. The speed of sound is approximately 750 miles an hour, depending on the atmospheric pressure, but 750 miles an hour. So at the speed of sound, it would take approximately 1 second to get from here to Olentangy River Road. Not Olentangy River Road, with Olentangy. Just Olentangy. You know that street over there where the Lennox Center is? It would take approximately 1 second to get there. The speed of light, in contrast, in 1 second, so if I was to shoot a bullet to my right, and it was to travel that direction at the speed of light, if I say, go, 1001, bam, right there, just that period of time, that same 1 second, that bullet will have traveled all the way around the globe and come back through this wall, this side, and then back around the globe and back through the wall, this side, 7 times. In that same 1 second. Just to give you an idea of the difference between the speed of sound and the speed of light. That's like man versus God. However, it's far greater than that because we can actually measure the speed of light. So it's still, God is immeasurable. That's his beginning point. That's his beginning point. And he comes down below that when he wants to slow down and show us who he is. And then he goes right back up to where he exists in this place of eternity. Give you some other ideas on the speed of light. To go from Earth to the moon, because we kind of think of the moon, the sun, you know, the distance that they are from the Earth. You kind of think maybe they're somewhat similar, but we know the sun's probably a lot further than the moon. But just to give you an idea how long it would take to get to the moon, I want us all to go there right now, right? We're going to go there at the speed of light. So would everyone put your seatbelts on? Go ahead and put your seatbelts on. We're in a ship. We're just going to turn this place into a ship. We're going to take off. We're going to go to the moon. You ready? Now we're going to go there at the speed of light. Are you ready? Okay, three of us are. Good. All right. Okay, here we go. Ready? At the speed of light. Go. Bam. We're there. 1.3 seconds. That was a fast trip. But the speed of light will take us there in 1.3 seconds. Now, that was kind of a quick trip. Let's go on a little bit longer travel, make it more enjoyable. Let's go to the sun. All right, we're going to go to the sun at the same speed. All right, here we go. Go. So, man, how you doing?
Well, thank you.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm doing great, man. Hey, so are we having that meeting later on tonight still?
Yes.
Okay, 6 o'clock? Cool. All right. I like the new haircut, man. Low maintenance. Yeah, it's good stuff. I keep thinking about doing it, but I don't think I could wear it as well as you do. All right, well, that's probably going to take too long because we would have another 16 times that period of time in order to get to the sun. So for the sake of time, we'll just cut the trip off there. But that's how long it would take to get to the sun. Approximately 8.3 minutes to get to the sun at the speed of light. That's the distance, the difference between the Earth and the sun, the Earth to the moon versus the Earth to the sun. Now, let's look at the distance between the Earth and just the center of our galaxy. All right? How many of you know what galaxy we're in? Okay. We're in the Milky Way. That's where we are. Our solar system is in a galaxy called the Milky Way. Just to get from the center, to get from where we are to the center of our galaxy at the speed of light. Remember how fast we're traveling. Remember the distance we're covering. If I remember, I think the speed of light, 186,372 miles a second, comes out to 93 billion miles, or is it trillion? It's one of those big numbers, in 1 year. If you were traveling for a year, that's how far you'd go. Don't even begin to think you just calculated that because your mind can't handle it, neither can mine. So, anyhow. But to go from where we are to the center of our galaxy, you ready for this? Just the center of our galaxy. Who wants to take a stab at it? Anybody? How long? 5 years. Ooh, that's a long travel. The travel 5 years. Okay, anybody else? Rusty? Big. Okay, yeah. All right. How long? 50 million years? Okay, well, it's not quite that big. But I like it, man. I like how you're going for it, man. You're thinking big. That's where I'm trying to take us. I like that. No, it would take 25,000 years. 25,000 years. Just to get to the center of our galaxy. I mean, if that didn't curl your noodle right there, I don't know what will. That's unbelievable. That's beyond. Your brain just can't even deal with that. They're fun numbers, but I mean, it's. So why am I saying all this? I want you to understand the vastness of the world that our Father created. Now, how about traveling from one end of our galaxy to the other end of our galaxy? Just our galaxy. From one end to the other. 100, not 1,000 years, not 100 million years, but 100. No, I'm sorry. I'm totally messing it up. It is 100,000 years. There's another one that's going to be the other one. 100,000 years at the speed of light just to go from one end of the Milky Way to the other. I mean, it's It's just unbelievable. Let's go ahead and show a few slides. I want you to see the picture of this galaxy that I was just talking about. This is our galaxy. And it says, you are here. You see up there where those three are pointing down to in the center there. That's where we are. Just to go from there to the middle of that yellow circle at the speed of light would take 25,000 years. Is that unbelievable? What's that? You are here. You like that? Well, I just wanted you to see. I wanted you to know where you live. I think fourth and high is like, yeah, there you go. Thank you. Ruth, help me out there. So now that is just our galaxy. And with the help of the Hubble telescope now, we've gotten a whole lot of new facts from that thing. The most outrageously powerful telescope. They sent it into a black hole to see what the black hole was, only to discover the black hole is not a black hole at all. It is billions of additional galaxies. I mean, you know, it's just... Tilt, you know, I mean, the brain just can't even do it. I mean, it's just... They estimate now that there are is approximately over 100... This is that other number I was messing up. Over 100 billion galaxies. We're talking about the size of this galaxy. There's over 100 billion of these. That takes 100,000 years to travel at the speed of light to get across one of them. This is our God. This is your dad. This is why I believe God wanted me to ask us this question. Have you forgotten who God is? We have shrunk him down to this, you know, God created us in his image, but we turn that around and we say kind of, he's kind of like in our image. He created us in his image and in his likeness, but he is not like us in that sense of he is God and we are not. He created us to be with us, to love on us. He loves us so much that he created all of this for our pleasure, for our joy, just for us to see what he can do. And, you know, even, well, before I go into that, let me show you a few more slides. Let's look at a couple more. Right there, that's just another galaxy. They say there's three basic types of galaxies, and one's a spiral, which is the type we live in. There's many of them. This is, can't remember what they call it, where they basically say it really doesn't have any form. I can't remember what they call it, but, well, yes, but I mean the type of galaxies, so... But that last one was called the Crab Galaxy. And I don't really remember the names of all these, so I'm not going to tell you all that. But I just want you to see, that's the Crab Galaxy. And then this next one, this is a nebulous. But just, you know, think about these. Look at these. Now, that one's got a name on it. Sombrero Galaxy. I think he did that for the Latino crowd. No. But look at that. That's just unbelievable. Now, the Hubble, these are actual photographs from the Hubble telescope. These are actual photographs. I mean, they're looking at this thing. And they're able to measure. They've learned, they've figured out how to measure. They do it in light years. This one's another one that would take 100,000 years at the speed of light to travel across it. Another, now that one is actually a star exploding, by the way. That is just bad to the bone. Another one of those spiral galaxies. They give them numbers. That's M64, Spiral Galaxy M64. Now this one, hold this one for a minute. This one I just found awesome. This is, they say it's in a region where stars are being formed and planets are being formed. Those are gases being released that begin to grow up. They go up and then they start collecting particles of dust and start forming a mass and they create stars and planets out of it. This is actual planets and galaxies being formed right there. Do you know that God said in the beginning, let there be light? And there was light. Well, do you know when he said that, he released light from himself. He released himself into the universe and said, let there be light. And you know, it's still going. The universe is expanding at the speed of light. It has never stopped. He gave the command and it started and it has never stopped. It's still expanding at the speed of light. And this is just one of the territories they've discovered where planets are being formed. Stars are coming out. Planets are being grown. Galaxies are being birthed. Right there. Okay, next one. Same thing. It says star forming region NCC3603. That's just one of the many star forming regions. You know, just forming another galaxy. Look at the beauty in the universe. Up there, all about just different formations. Look at the colors, the explosiveness. There's also gases rising up, forming these outrageous forms. That was pretty bad. I like that one. It's like the big eye in the sky. God just has an eye up there. I just love the beauty. That right there in the middle is a star exploding, blowing up. You know, they only have a certain short lifespan of, 4,200 billion years, and then they cease to exist. That's one ceasing to exist, and they caught it on film. Explodes out and makes this ring, and then it just goes poof, and it's gone. And they caught it right in the middle of an explosion. Is that bad to the bones or what? Now that is the last picture. That is basically an overview of millions and millions of galaxies. So it's like stepping back. We just looked at a bunch of little ones that would be all throughout there. You know, if you saw one of those bright spots and zoomed in on it, that's what those other pictures we were looking at. Now this is more of a bird's eye view of multiple galaxies. Just giving you just a glimpse of the universe that our God created. Your dad did that. And I'm not being sacrilegious when I call him your dad or Papa or whatever. He himself tells us that we can call him that. He put in us the Spirit of the Son, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. The reason that word remains in the Greek when it says Abba is because they said the English language does not have an intimate enough word to translate it. Abba. But the closest thing we have in our language to that, where he says he put it within us, the Spirit of the Son, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. That word, Abba, the closest word we have is Daddy. Whereby we cry out, Daddy, Father, Papa. So go ahead, go to the next slide. These are just some of the scriptures in the Word that talk to us about this. The heavens declare the glory of God. I think I wrote them down so I won't have to turn around and look at all these. Yeah, the next one says, the heavens declare the glory of God. It's the same verse, but it's the rest of it. And the firmament shows his handiwork. That's what we were just looking at. The heavens declare. They speak to us about the glory of our God, the one that we serve. You know, when you are in your prayer time, this is what I want you to be thinking about. When you get down on your knees and you get ready to pray, this is who you're praying to. You're praying to the one who made this. An awesome God who not only creates this, these incredible, mind-blowing things, but he is anxious to hear your prayer. He wants you to talk to him, and he wants to move in your behalf, and he has but one question. Do you believe me? Do you believe I'll do what you're asking me to do? Do you know who I am? Am I small in your thinking, or am I big in your thinking? Are you freaking out about that situation in your life? And therefore, misunderstanding who I am. Or do you understand who I am? We see, instead of allowing your situation to be bigger than your God, We need to understand that our God is bigger than our situation. Infinitely times bigger than our situation. And that's when we come to God in prayer, that's the posture we need to be in. That's the mindset we must have, is remembering who we're talking to, remembering who our God is. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day into day utters speech. Night into night reveals knowledge. You understand that? He's saying that the days, when you look around at my beauty, it's speaking about me. The nights, when you look into the stars, they're giving you knowledge about me. They reveal knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard, right? There's nowhere you can go on the planet that you're not going to see this, the greatness of our God. Their line has gone throughout all the earth, and their world, and their words to the end of the world. This is why the Bible says, and I'll get there. Let me look at the next verse. Psalm 97:6 says this, the heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Romans 1:20 says this, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes. What would be invisible attributes? Like your power, someone's power, right? That's an, you can't see it. It's an invisible attribute. Your goodness, your righteousness, your judgment. You know, these are invisible attributes. Your creativeness, your intelligence. These are invisible attributes. They're attributes, but they're invisible. He says, since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. We just took a little glimpse of some of the things that our Father made. And he says, through these, you can begin to see me, my attributes, my creativity, what I like, how I, you know, how I create. Look at the creativity, the beauty, the power. It says even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And he goes on to talk about, for the next chapter and a half, the people who claim they don't believe in God. And he says they are without excuse. They can, maybe they can fool you and talk to you all they want. They can flap their flappy lip all they want about how they don't believe in God. God says it won't hold water with me on judgment day. Because he said they're without excuse. I put it all around them. I painted a canvas all the way around them, showing them who I am, that I am here, that I am real. Next verse, or next, yes. It says, it's in Isaiah. No, it's Psalms 8. It says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? This psalmist was getting it. When he considered the heavens, the work of God's fingers, the greatness of it, and he said, what is man? Why, that you even think about us? I mean, we're just like nothing compared to what you, who you are, what you do. And the reality is, God so loved us that he gave everything he had for us. The reality is, he loves us. This verse goes on to say, I don't have it up there, but it goes on to say, not only do you think about us, not only do you visit us, not only did you create the most awesome heavens, but then you put all of it under our hands. You put it under our control. He built all of it, and then he put it under us and said, have dominion over it. This is why Joshua, who got it, could speak to the sun and say, stand still, and cause the sun to sit still while he finished his battle. He understood, I have control, even over the universe, for my heavenly Father gave me dominion over it. I could tell you stories, but I can't because of the sake of time, but I could just tell you some stuff that, I mean, and yeah, I'll move on, but it's very real. We have authority. That's why Jesus can tell his disciples, cast the net on the other side of the boat. And they're like, Lord, we've been fishing all night long. Nevertheless, at thy word. And they throw the net, and they take in so many fish, it begins to sink their ship. So then they call for their partners to bring their boat out, and it begins to sink their ship. Because he had authority over the fish. And Jesus says, we can do the same thing. We can go fishing that way. You think, well, that's not, there's no way that's true. Well, the reason you don't think it's true is because you don't know anybody that's done it, probably. Or you just don't think God would do it. The reality is, the Word of God says it. It is absolutely true, and you can do it. I know of people who have done it. I'll just leave it at that. It's very real. He put all of this outrageous beauty that He created under us. The next verse says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. What am I trying to do with all of this? The next slide kind of gives you an idea. I'm wanting to reestablish in all of us something that the Bible calls the fear of the Lord. Now, I'd like to do an exegesis on the teaching of the fear of the Lord. I actually had some notes to do it, but we're out of time, so I might get into that next week. But let me just say this. The fear of the Lord, it's a beautiful thing. It's something that will guide your life. Without it, you and I are lost. We live in a universe that makes no sense. We will not be able to make sense of our lives without it. If you're one of those who say you don't believe in God and you live in this life, in this world, without a belief and a faith in God, sure, you can make sense to some degree of a day-to-day activity, going to your job, etc. I'm talking about life will not make sense to you. The tragedies on one side, these people getting blessed that don't seem to deserve it, or just all the different things about life, it will not make sense to you. But when you have the fear of the Lord, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is the beginning of knowledge. As we get to know our God, first and foremost, it puts you in the right perspective of understanding everything. Because the first idea is, the first understanding is, He created it all. So it has an origin. It has a purpose. It has a designer. It has an architect. Then He gives us His Word to meditate in His Word that will begin to explain all these things that are big questions in your mind. God is orderly about everything that He does. The universe is in perfect order. And so is this world, even though it may not look like it to you. Understanding God and understanding His Word will begin to clear up our understanding of life. I've been meditating the Word for 26 years, and it brings such clarity of mind to me that oftentimes people are talking to me about problems in their life, and immediately I feel like I understand what the problem is. Not because I'm wise in it among myself, but I know what the Word says about that situation. I know how they can change that situation. Because I know the Creator and what He has to say about it. God wants for us to have stability in life. And it comes first. It starts by recognizing He's the Creator, that He's awesome, He's in control. And this is one way to understand what the fear of the Lord is and understanding His greatness. Amen. Praise God.
Annie had a verse that she felt like would be good, and I think so too. So if we could have a couple individuals from the prayer team come up, and then Annie's going to read this verse. And if that touches you in some way, just encourage you to come up and ask for some prayer.
This is from Joel 2. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and with weeping and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. I'm going to read it again. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all of your heart, with fasting, with weeping and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in love. I just feel like He's speaking that over some of you. Just return to me.
And this is my heart, and I'm going to assume it's many of your hearts. I just want to go through my day tomorrow, the rest of today, the next day. When I'm looking around and looking at creation, I just want to just make the connection to not just, oh, that's pretty, but make the connection to God. I want to make that connection. When there's something that's wonderful, it's glorious. And, I mean, something as simple, honestly, as pulling into the parking lot here and seeing these huge leaves that were falling off the tree. And just something simple, but just the beauty of God in all of our surroundings, that it would translate into how I interact with Him throughout the day. And so, Father, we want to be more present to You and Your reality all day long. When we wake up, when we go to bed, through the day, we want to be more keyed in that You are real, that You are good, and that You are awesome, that You are awesome, God. So, Father, we ask for just revelation, just open our hearts, open our minds to experience more of You in our day-to-day life. Thank You, Lord, for Your greatness. Thank You for Your greatness. Amen. Have a wonderful Sunday. I want to encourage you, if you need prayer, I'm going to get some here after I set this mic down. If you need prayer for anything, come up. These folks have been trained to pray. They love to pray. Don't leave here without getting prayer if you need it for anything.